live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 222. I'm your host. I'll be joined momentarily by my co-host. We've got a big show lined up for you this evening. We've got NFL talk, NFL preseason, week one done. We're approaching week number two. The NFL season is vastly, vastly approaching us. We've got that talk. We've got breakdowns. We are doing regional breakdowns. We have a region here in Indianapolis where we have a lot of NFL teams, a lot of fan bases around this general area. We're going to break down teams and in-depth on the teams that are local-ish around us. We've got Bears, Packers, Lions, Steelers, Browns, Bengals, Colts. We're going to talk all those teams and more over the next couple weeks. Tonight, we have the Steelers and the Bengals, two rivalries, Cincinnati Bengals, Super Bowl runners-up last year. We've got them to talk about tonight. We've got plenty to talk about with the NCAA college football season vastly approaching. Next week is week zero, I'm pretty sure. Week zero next week. Can't wait. We'll have our picks for next week as well. Looking at that, we've got a little golf talk. NBA, some news. One of the best players, one of the best players of all time in the league, LeBron James. We'll talk to him. He's in the news today, as well as the NBA schedule being released. The Pacers, we've got the Pacers schedule. We'll kind of talk some news and notes, Pacers schedule as well. There are also with LeBron James, there is a chance that he could be breaking the all-time scoring record in Indianapolis this year. So it's on the potential games where he could be breaking it. So imagine that ticket. If you want to get that ticket, go ahead now. But without further ado, my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong, JB, how are you?
Brandon Reeves, Crossroad listening audience, what's going on, man? Brandon, you said a mouthful, man. You gave the entire show rundown, man. Where did we start at? That's what I got to say. Where did we start at?
Do you need to wish a happy birthday to somebody?
Do I need to wish a happy birthday to somebody?
Yeah. Maybe your frenemy?
Today?
Yeah.
Man, what you do? Man, I already wish him a happy birthday from the deep state, man. Dan Dockett, if he's listening. I know he is, man. Say happy birthday. But I already did it, man. I'm not
going to do it. In Three Foolish Men, I put you right in that category.
All right, John, you know what? Sometimes we gotta call it out when we see it. So what a great week it's been as well. Just a lot of craziness. I've got some personal good news going on. Nice little promotion with my job.
Yep.
So that's going to free up a lot more of my schedule as well. Be able to do a lot more things, get more to a standard schedule. So I'm looking forward to that. Can't wait for that. Makes a lot of things a hell of a lot easier. So looking for that. Let's dive, John, right into the NFL, the National Football League. Colts, Indianapolis Colts, week one preseason. They went up to Buffalo Orchard Park, took on the Buffalo Bills. Colts lost 27-24. Matt Ryan,
yep,
took the 10, 58 yards. Sam Ehlinger, 88 yards passing, 10 of 11 with two touchdowns. It was very short and efficient passes was what the Colts were looking to go out there with. Jonathan Taylor did not play the preseason. He will not play the preseason. Nick Foles did get some action. All three quarterbacks had a touchdown. John, your thoughts just on preseason game number one. I will say, to finish it off where you go, I'm a little concerned that Buffalo's number twos were whooping up on the Colts' number ones. I was a little concerned with that, but it is preseason number one. John, what was your thoughts?
Just my thoughts, man, was a little inconsistency. It was good to see Sam Ehlinger throw the ball around a little bit. You have a little bit more faith now in the quarterback room. I guess I'm thinking for myself, man, because – again, Matt Ryan's going to be the starter this year, but you know, you never know, man. This is that kind of league. You never know, league, man. So if somebody gets, if they take a significant injury where Matt Ryan is out for 2, 3, maybe even 4 weeks, you know what I'm saying? You feel confident seeing what you've seen out of Sam Ehlinger and even in, you know what I'm saying, Nick Foles today. If anybody kind of listens to I guess reported out of what comes out of training camp as they went against Detroit, team versus team today. Like, you kind of feel good about what you hear, at least in the short term, at least in going into the season, right? You know, so we know sometimes things can kind of fall out the bed, you know what I'm saying, with some of the people that we mentioned that's on the team now. So, but, like, nah, man, so it, real vanilla, though, too, also. So you get a real vanilla feeling of what the secondary is going to look like. They got some bugs to fix, you know what I'm saying, some things to work out. It would still be nice if they had another – You would want a veteran wide out. Who that is, Brandon, I don't know. Is behind the scenes they're mulling over their choices. Is it going to be T.Y. or is it going to be Odell? I think if you had to lean towards one another, if they don't sign either, I can see that happening. But I can see them signing T.Y. But again, they got to figure out a number. Outside of that though, Brandon, I was more concerned, not necessarily about the quarterback play. I think that like I said, that room. It's probably one of the better quarterback rooms in the league. Well, that's too bold of a statement. I would put him definitely, you know what I'm saying, as sure as, you know what I mean, who I trust, I would put him in the top 10. Probably got a top 10 room, quarterback room. What is concerning is they still, the offensive line still, you know what I'm saying, allowed a couple of sacks that, you know, that, you know, shouldn't have happened. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's, I guess technically that's, I mean, that's nitpicking, but it's something that, you know, is it nitpicking or is it carryover from last season? You know what I mean? So, but other than that, you know, Brandon, defense was flying. The defense looked good to me. And what is that, in my estimation, what is that defense going to look like when you add Shaquille Leonard? I said Darius Leonard, man. Shame on me. So what's that defense going to look like when you add Shaquille Leonard? I think it's going to look even more impressive. So when that happens, again, there's a lot of speculation around that. Some people think week three. Some people think maybe sooner. They're definitely going to play in the preseason. But again, man, defense, the coach look good. Got a few bugs they got to figure out offensively. And again, you know what I'm saying, if you walk like a duck, talk like a duck, it must be a duck. You might be a little concerned about their offensive line protection.
Yeah, Nyheim Hines, 8 carries, 26 yards. Obviously, no Jonathan Taylor this preseason. Phillip Lindsay, 5 carries, 24 yards. He's new in Indianapolis this year. Sam Ehlinger, you know, it's kind of cliche, but, yeah, he kind of reminds you of a Texas-style high school quarterback that you had back in high school. Mm-hmm. That type of feel. Yeah, he went to Texas, but being able to get out of the pocket and run. Colts really haven't had that in a long time. I mean, Jacoby could run, but it was like a slow run with Jacoby Brissett. And then you had two. You're going to have basically two statues back there with Phillip Rivers and Matt Ryan. But I do see now that there's a report now that the Colts, you know, obviously Nick Foles is going to be the backup. It's been clear that Frank Wright and them are going to have him as their backup. That Sam Ehlinger either, A, is not going to be on the roster. He'll be either a practice squad person. Maybe they keep him on the roster if they don't want him to get stolen from another team and, you know, they feel comfortable to having that much depth. Or C, John, there's rumor now that Sam Ehlinger might be trade bait for a team that may not feel as comfortable with a number two right now as their backup quarterback. What's your thoughts on the Colts possibly using Ehlinger as trade bait? Personally, I would not do it because I feel like if somehow it comes to Nick Foles' experience, I don't know if I'd want to trust that.
Right. That's what I was kind of alluding to, man. Like, again, Nick Foles as a starter might get you in this day and age, you know what I'm saying, where he's at in his career right now, he might get you 4 good games. Right? I'm not saying those are winnable. I'm just saying where he plays exceptionally well. We have to remember the season is 17 games. I don't know, man. I kind of don't like that, man. I know they had to make a certain amount of cuts and, you know, to get the roster down, but I thought Sam Ehlinger did enough, at least in that game. And then also when we remember, he looks leaps and bounds what he, you know, saying did last year. You know what I mean? If we remember, you know, saying the time he split between the other guy that they shipped out of here last year in the preseason. So I don't know. I hope hopefully they can find a spot for him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do there. Week two, Colts Lions this weekend, the Fighting Dan Campbells. They are in town up here in Westfield. They are practicing with the Colts today and tomorrow, with a big game on Saturday, 1 o'clock down at Lucas Oil Stadium. Colts have said that they are not going to be playing their ones in this game. So we're looking at backups playing all this weekend. And then apparently the Colts are possibly going to play their starters in week three against Tampa. It still remains to be seen against Tampa what Tampa is going to come out with if they play their starters. Tom Brady may not even be back onto the squad by the time they come here to Indianapolis the following week. I've been watching Hard Knocks. I got to watch last night's episode. I had so much going on last night. It was crazy. I still got to recap last night's Hard Knocks episode with the Detroit Lions, but I do like to see what they're coming out with in practice. I think they will be most improved, very improved. I know we talked last week, I believe, with their record. We thought it could be up there in Detroit. And we're going to hone in on Detroit. The Lions are going to be on one of our future shows, previewed. And we've got Bears, Colts, Browns, Lions, and Packers. Those five teams we still have to cram in over the next couple weeks. But we'll give a little bit more of a preview for the Lions then. John, I do want to talk real quick. Zach Wilson, my God, we thought Zach Wilson and the Jets could turn a corner. We like the makeup of this roster, what they're doing. Winner, Joe Flacco.
Yeah, man, definite setback, man, as far as Zach Wilson's progress. Again, the Jets went out and spent money this past particular year. They spent money on both sides of the ball, you know, to support their young quarterback. That's kind of the blueprint of how to run what's the quickest way to get to the Super Bowl, right? To find a young, talented quarterback and then put a great team around him, because now if you remember, folks, we're on rookie contracts with Zach Wilson, right? So, yeah, they can load up and pay for offensive lineman there, pay for a wide out, you know, send support here, there, right, and even bring another running back. But if you don't have Zach Wilson out there, they kind of like, you know what I'm saying, not necessarily having the engine, you know what I'm saying, in the car to make everything kind of go. So he's going to he had a procedure, right, to fix a tear in his knee. So he did tear something. He just didn't tear, ultimately, he didn't tear his ACL, which is great, right? But it does set back to the Jets' plans. And, we talk about a second-year guy who didn't necessarily take a giant leap. He took some small steps as the season progressed, but he didn't necessarily take a giant leap into being like, oh, okay, he's got it. What I seen in college when, you know what I'm saying, with the time when he was lighting it up out in the Mountain West, right, out on the West Coast, right, and what we've seen last year is a lot of potential, you know what I mean? But again, potential can only, you know what I'm saying, be so taken so far when it's out there on the field. So Zach's going to be out for a couple of weeks, definitely not playing no more preseason. There's talk that he'll be ready to go by at least week number two. I don't know anybody to have procedure. I mean, NFL guys, you know what I'm saying, all athletes, matter of fact, are different when it comes to healing and getting out there. Yeah, but again, man, he's got to get his reps up. He's got to get this familiarity with the offensive line. And like I said, and this new team, and obviously, like, how to win week to week to week to week instead of, like, how many games did the Jets win last year? Five? You know what I mean? So he's learning, and unfortunately, he's got to learn on the sideline. You know, unfortunately, like I said, I'm trying to hit hammer home. You can't learn on the sideline. So you learn some things, but you can't, obviously, you know, say what needs to be is production on the field. So we'll get a little bit of that. A little bit later than sooner, unfortunately. So definitely a small blow into the Jets' plan this year.
Looking ahead for the Jets' regular season, home opener against Baltimore. Then they go to Cleveland, home against Cincinnati, and at Pittsburgh. So they open up their first four games against the AFC North. You got to think between weeks 2 and 4, Zach Wilson would come back. They're at Cleveland, who's going to be without Deshaun Watson. You would think that they're probably to be on the safe side, sit him out, bring him back week 3 at home against the Bengals, I think would be a big one for them. So, John, let's recap. Pittsburgh Steelers. My Steelers played on Saturday night, home game against Seattle preseason. Obviously, we are in the post-era of Big Ben Roethlisberger. Steelers win 32-25 over Seattle. It came down to the last few seconds. Thank God the damn thing didn't go to overtime because I was really worried about going to overtime in a stupid preseason game. All three quarterbacks played. Mitch Trubisky came out with the number 1. Mason Rudolph came out with the number 2s. And then Kenny Pickett, our new starting our draft pick quarterback, came out. Mm-hmm. All three guys threw touchdowns. Kenny Pickett. We'll talk. What?
Brandon, you almost said it. Our new starting quarterback. You almost said it. It'll probably be set in place by week 7.
I need to give some respect to my man Mitch. Mitch Trubisky, 4 of 7, a touchdown. Mason Rudolph was 9 of 15 with a touchdown. Kenny Pickett, 13 of 15, 95 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a game-winning drive at the end of the game. Rushing-wise, Anthony McFarland was in there. Najee did not play. I do love what Anthony McFarland has a change of pace back. Dazzling plays. I saw him caught a touchdown pass from my man Mitch Trubisky. That touchdown pass from. It's interesting to see this team. You know, George Pickens, no Deontay Johnson, Tavon Austin didn't play in this game. I like the way this looked. The defense stepped it up. You know, they didn't play a lot, but I like what the quarterback can look like for these Pittsburgh Steelers. I thought three guys played well. I talked that Mason Rudolph might be traded at the end of the week and that Detroit is interested in Mason Rudolph. So that's another thing. I don't think they're going to trade him right now. He's got another year left on his deal. I think they're going to roll with all three on the roster. I really do, just because of how and we'll talk about it in depth when we talk to Steelers here, but Kenny Pickett, John, I was impressed.
Right. What was the main knock? You know what I'm saying? His draft analysis said that he said he had small hands. You know what I'm saying? Nobody looked at the ability to throw down the field. Nobody looked at nobody commented on the ability to have a little bit of escapability as my man can get mobile, you know what I'm saying, at certain times. You know what I mean? So, would you like that? Yeah, what you like out of Pickett, you know what I'm saying, even in the preseason game that, you know what I'm saying, it's, you know, nobody's trying to get hurt, right, is what you like out of him is, like I said, he's so poised. And the more game type, the game, the more, you know what I'm saying, the bigger the game, like, you know what I'm saying, he has to go through that maturation. He has to go through that process. Again, he's not named the starter just yet because, again, you know what I'm saying, we tip our hats to the vets first. That's how football should be played, you know, unless the quarterback is, you know what I'm saying, head over heels like the guy. So again, we have a great competition right now, unless you know what I'm saying, Mason Rudolph contract. We have a great competition right now where we know who the starter is going to be, we being the Steelers. We know who the starter is going to be, Mitch Trubisky, per contract. He's going to be the starter. Per what we've seen out of Mitch Trubisky, he's been able to win games. He's shown the ability, you know what I'm saying, to play winning with the Bears. He's just shown the ability to play winning football. So that's why he's the starter. You know, now, if the kid, through the course of this season, the 17-game season, if the Steelers struggle from an offensive standpoint, if they win games, Brandon, if they struggle from an offensive standpoint, from the quarterback position, and you got Pickett on the sideline, like, dude, I can't believe he – Brandon, you know what? They're going to feel – when you redraft it, they're going to be like, why didn't Kenny Pickett? That's what it's going to be.
I'm not trying to get too excited, but I like the way all three of them looked today or last night.
Right. You have to like it. You know, you already know that Mitch Trubisky is a bridge quarterback anyway, right? And you know what I'm saying, Mason has won you some games, in, you know what I'm saying, in patchwork, right? But, you know what I'm saying, this other kid potentially could be like, he was in your backyard all that time, right? You know what I mean? So it kind of just worked out for the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. So, again, they have to like what they have to like what they have as far as quarterback play. And again, the defense, Brandon, I always would point, I will never remember a question, this Pittsburgh Steelers defense. What I will, again, I have to nitpick it. And it's not like they play terrible either. So I look at the offensive line. We got to get some gel there. But, man, Steelers look like, you know, life after Ben, they'll struggle, of course, but look like after Ben Roethlisberger is going to be all right.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree with that. Wheels aren't going to be completely off. John, let's dive into our previews. The first up, the Super Bowl runners-up from last year, 10-7 during the regular season. They finished first in the AFC North, lost to the champion, individual champion Super Bowl Los Angeles Rams. For the Super Bowl, Cincinnati Bengals, John, they opened the season at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Typically, the Super Bowl runners-up who have lost, they don't come out. They have a Super Bowl hangover the following year for some reason, and they end up not having a good year. Joe Burrow, quarterback, 4,600 yards last year, 34 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. He just had an appendix taken out recently, so there's word he'll be ready to go week one. Joe Mixon, 1,200 yards rushing, 13 touchdowns. Jamar Chase, the rookie last year, 81 catches, 1,455 yards and 14 touchdowns. T. Higgins had 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns himself. John, the Bengals, from my notes I have here, they've got our boy, Ball State guy Drew Plitt, is on the roster right now for the Cincinnati Bengals. So we'll see if he's fighting for a roster spot. Shout out Ball State there. Bengals, John, they have the third hardest schedule in the league this year. So coming off a Super Bowl, third hardest schedule. Their offensive line needs to help keep Burrow healthy and upright, I think. They did it during the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Gave them a chance to win. But leading up to it throughout the season in the playoffs, my God, our man Joey B was running wild for his life. They did sign Leo Collins to a 3-year deal, the offensive tackle in the offseason, to kind of help that. Each of the guys get 1 year aggressive a little bit more to get help. Looking at an outlook for me, the Bengals have a tough stretch, John. They have weeks 11 through 18. I like to call it a murderous row on their schedule. They're at the Steelers, at the Titans, home against the Chiefs, home against the Browns, at the Bucks, at the Patriots, home against the Bills, home against the Ravens. A little bit of a murderous row there. That's those teams right there. That's where you're getting your strength of schedule. So that third hardest schedule. I've got them going once again, 10-7 in the AFC North. Tied for first.
I would respectfully disagree. It's not by much, man. We're splitting hairs, man. You said 10-7. I got them going 11-6, man. And Brandon, that number can even change to like 12-5. Pie in the sky, 13-4. But I think they can even the best version of the Cincinnati Bengals could go 12-5. Here's why: they got the right age kind of team. You know what I'm saying? They're prime players, whether you're talking about Joe Burrow or what's the running back, Mixon, him. You know what I'm saying? All those guys are like 25 years old. Jamar Chase, he's under 25. You know what I'm saying? These guys are in the prime of their life, man. So again, man, they got the quickness on offense. You like, dude, they have patience. They have patience on offense. They know they like ball control. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like the old Patriots in some regard. They like clock control, not ball control. Clock control, right? But the biggest question is, like you said it, man. Their left guard They drafted guys. They brought in free agency men. Their left guard position is still not solidified today. So I mean, that's just competition. It's not like they you know what I'm saying. It's not like they have like a guy that they're not or two guys. They have two guys. One guy, of course, it's always the same old thing. Man. One guy's better in run coverage. One guy's better in pass coverage. They need both. You kind of need both guys. You know what I'm saying, to do a little bit of both. You know what I mean, especially with that team. You can test them. This particular defense, right? I would nitpick at that. You can test them at the corners. I know we got some happy dappy names. We got Eli Apple. We got Dax Hill, who's an up and comer. We got Von Bell, who I think is on his final year of his deal. So again, you know, a lot of guys, you see guys like that are hungry. They you know what I'm saying, whether the Bengals resign them or they go somewhere else, they're looking, you know what I'm saying, for max dollars. Because again, like I said, they're in the prime of their career. So, Brandon, I kind of like them to be more of a hungrier team than they were last year. They know that they're the way to get back to navigate through the season is through health. The way to get back to the Super Bowl is to make sure Joe Burrow is 100% and upright.
Yeah, I agree. I just feel like this is going to be a little bit of a Super Bowl. Like you said, that roster, or that record could go from 10-7 to 13-4. It could be even 9-8, possibly.
No way.
I mean, John, I'll bring up their schedule real quick, and I'll kind of go through where I've.
You said where can it go 9-8? You think?
Yeah, I'll go. I mean, it's not the easiest schedule. It's not the third hardest schedule in the league. So I'll kind of go through week one.
Well, with that, Brandon, hold on, because I like where your head's at, man. But with that, so you're saying you think the AFC North might be the hardest division in football?
No.
Because once Deshaun Watson gets out there, if with Cleveland, they'll be a different team.
The AFC North won't be able to hold a candle to the win of the AFC South. Or excuse me, AFC West, not South.
Okay.
AFC West.
Okay, I got you.
Sorry, I was looking at my.
Oh, AFC South. Like, do you?
Week one. Home against the Steelers, I've got them beating the Steelers. Week two,
okay.
I've got them losing at Dallas.
No way, Brandon. Yeah. We just said last week.
Huh?
No way they lose to Dallas. No way they lose to Dallas.
They do. I'm telling you,
John. The bigger the game, the Cowboys got, the piss going to run down the leg.
That's the season. Beginning of the year, they're all right. They're playing loose. It's once that shit starts getting a little more nervous and a little more, oh, my God, we need this, that's when the piss runs down the leg. So early, I think they play losing three. Everybody's healthy. So I got them losing to Dallas. I've got them beating the Jets at the Jets. I've got them beating Miami at home. At the Ravens, I think the Ravens get them at Baltimore. At New Orleans, I have them beating the Saints. I went back and forth on that one. I've got them beating the Falcons at home. At Cleveland, I have them losing to the Browns on week eight, which could be Deshaun Watson return night. It's Halloween night, Monday Night Football up in Cleveland. These two rivals.
Oh, my goodness.
I just think Cleveland might – I think they get this one done. Then week nine, they take on the Panthers at home. No worry about there. They go to Pittsburgh week 11 for Sunday Night Football. Who knows how the Steelers are playing right then. I just chalked it as a win for them. I think they beat Pittsburgh
now. Yeah, it'd be a split, yeah.
Honestly, I didn't want to show my homerness there, so I didn't give them a split. At Tennessee, I think it's a loss. Home against the Chiefs is a loss. Home against the Browns is a win. At Tampa is a loss. At New England's a loss. Home against Buffalo – Monday Night Football. I think Buffalo is going to have more to play for than what Cincinnati is. So I gave it to Buffalo. And then home against the Ravens, I gave them a win against the Ravens at home. That's where I got my 10-7/9-8.
Okay.
I mean, you've got to go to Tampa and New England. Now, I know New England, people are saying that they're different this year. They're worse, and the wheels are falling off.
They don't have an offensive coordinator. They don't have an offensive coordinator.
I got two.
They don't have a singular offensive coordinator, man. I mean, I know we're not supposed to question Belichick, man, but I'm like questioning Belichick right now. But I see what you're saying, man. 9-8. I don't believe in Tennessee that much. Not over the Bengals. I don't. But we shall see.
Last year, 9-7, 1-5 with the Lions. Finished in the AFC North. The team looked dead. Moderate.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs and the AFC wild. No more Ben Roethlisberger. This season at the Bills, who we just talked about. Trubisky, Rudolph, and picking your quarterback right now. Najee, Benny Snell, McFarland. This is us for wide receivers. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. From what I've been listening and reading, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, drafted George Pickens and Calvin Austin. I think when they drafted Calvin Austin in the fourth round, I think that's a wake-up call to Chase Claypool. As, hey, buddy, it's time to step it up with these drops and all this the center tantrum stuff. Either football or you're rushing me out. We're not going to renew the deal. So they got Calvin Austin there, who's a slot high change of pace. And right in. The schedule high for 12th, so it's not a murderous row per se
mm-hmm.
for the Steelers. They lost Juju Smith-Schuster to the Chiefs. James Washington went to Dallas, who's now out for 12 weeks with a knee injury. T.J. Watt's coming back, Defensive Player of the Year last year, 22.5 sacks. Yeah, Dan, you said T.J. Watt didn't do anything last year. Defensive Player of the Year, 22.5 sacks. I'll say it one more time. For the Steelers, John, record-wise, I tried to stay away from my homerness and just try to give a clear and precise thought with them. I've got them at 9-8. They're just over 500. Mike Tomlin's streak continues once again. I got them week one losing at Cincinnati. I got week two them beating New England at home, just because I think New England, it's a home opener. New England, you're not sure what you're going to get. Who knows what the Steelers can do. Maybe they can pull off a field goal win there. At Cleveland, I've got them winning this game at Cleveland just because there's no Deshaun Watson. I think them against the Jacoby Brissett is an easy win there. Home week four against the Jets. I like this being a home game against them. At Buffalo is a loss. I think week six, home against Tampa, is a loss. At Miami, I think, is a loss. At Philadelphia is a loss. I think the Eagles are my team to the Eagles. If that's how they get the Saints, they get a win. I think Jameis still a couple picks to Mika and be a game. I have my six. Week 12 at Indy. The Colts finally beat the Steelers. At Atlanta, the Steelers win. I'm going to beat Baltimore at home. At Carolina, they're going to win. Week 6, John, I was back and forth. Christmas Eve, I just think the Steelers are going to win Christmas Eve night against the Raiders. Week 17, they're at Baltimore. That's a loss. Week 18, home. I get Deshaun Watson. I think it's good. I think it'd be a sweet one this year based on their draft. So that's right. What's your thoughts on this for Steelers team going into this year?
Who's going to help Watt out there on the defensive, you know what I'm saying, on the defensive front of the side of the ball? We know, the Steelers know, as much praise as I gave all the quarterbacks, you know what I'm saying, they're both returning and new to the Steelers organization. Like, again, there's going to be a point a point in the season where, you know, saying they're going to hit a wall. They're going to, I mean, saying Pickett's going to hit a rookie wall, and Trubisky is going to do a Trubisky, right? So who's going to, our games, how are we going to step up? Who's going to step up? Pittsburgh has always been, like, notable for having more than just one guy that's, you know what I'm saying, that's all-pro or pro bowler. And there's talent, you know what I'm saying, on that defensive side as well, at middle linebacker, you know what I'm saying, all those things. But, you know what I'm saying, what does that production look like? This is the new era. This is the new era. Who's the leader of the team, Brandon? I know Mike Thomas, you know what I mean, we know that. He's the coach, right? But who's the leader on the field? So those are the things that I kind of look at in this transitionary year.
Hayward, he's a defensive and offensive now leader. I still want him to DJ.
Okay, hold on, Brad. You cut out there on that last part.
No, I was saying Cam Hayward and TJ Watt, those are now the main voice piece captains of this game.
Okay, I got you.
What's your outlook record-wise?
Record-wise for them? Man, you know, you can never count out. You can never count them out, dude. I know Reggie's listening. Reggie, you know what I'm saying? Caller number two all time is probably listening right now. You can't never leave out the Steelers, man. I wouldn't be mad about 9-8. I could perceive that. I think you probably switch those numbers, Brandon. It's probably gonna be more of an 8-9 type of season for them, where they'll be, you know what I'm saying, chopping at the bit. You know what I'm saying, it'll be mathematically they'll be causing headaches. You know, say, oh man, if Pittsburgh wins this game, then XYZ doesn't get to go. Kind of like how I did last year with the Colts, if anybody remembers, Pittsburgh. You know what I'm saying, won the last game of the other season, and they get the – oh, no, the Colts lost their game, and the Pittsburgh automatically got in. So there could be potentially some episodes like that throughout the season, man. I give them probably – like I said, I think I told you off-show call, I think this is Mike Thomas' first losing season. But, you know what I'm saying, it's not by – they're better than a four-game – you know what I'm saying, winning team. They're better than a two-game winning team for sure. So Pittsburgh is probably living in the, you know what I'm saying, 7-8-10, you know what I'm saying, this year. 7 wins, 8 wins.
All right, let's bring our guy on. D-Cott, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening, fellas? Y'all doing okay?
Doing well.
D-Cott,
well.
What's up, man? Dude, You took over our show last week, dude. We got it.
But let me. It was fun, man. You get
no,
fired.
It was. We lost four callers. Too long.
All right, sorry, man.
It's okay. Go. What you want to talk about?
I clearly I got some haters out there. That's okay. No worries. So a couple things I want to hit on. Right. I truly believe Cincinnati takes a couple of steps back, and here's why. The only thing that went wrong for Cincinnati last year was their O line. Other than that, everything they touched turned to gold. Though they addressed the O line in the off season. However, I just don't know that they can touch the stars like they did last year. You know, Brandon, to your point, 11-17 is beyond a murderer's row. Of those games, 11-17, I see them losing at least three games, maybe four. So
my position is D-Cott and Brandon is that y'all say murderers' row, they some murderers they damn self.
Yeah, but listen, everything they
this
touch
ain't the little sisters of the poor.
Nothing.
They ain't the little sisters of the poor no more.
No, I'm with you.
The
I'm
poor
with
Bengals.
You. But listen, you got to have fortune, right? You gotta have fortune, and everything that they did last year, it went. Think about the playoff game in Tennessee. It went their way. Everything went their way. That doesn't happen in the NFL.
They beat Kansas City,
I'm with you. But I say 9-8, and there's a bit of a step back. But more importantly, I want to hit my boys, because last week I only hit my boys for like 2 minutes. The schedule is out. I sent you guys a message. January 29th. Memphis, Tennessee. It's a short spot. We gotta go represent our boys. We gotta represent our boys. Right? I think and think about this. That's Super Bowl weekend, if I'm not mistaken, the next week. right? National title game in that area too. So that would be a great opportunity to get out there and support our guys. Just want to put that out there.
Super Bowl, they moved back 2 more weeks. So it's not till like the 10th or something.
Brandon, you cut out a little bit.
I said the Super Bowl's not till like the 10th or so of February.
Well, I said, well, the weekend before, what I'm saying, it's that time of year, though, is what I'm saying. So I'm going to be looking for that. The schedule's out. We got Golden State the 14th of December here. I can't remember the date of the Lakers game.
I can't. Day before my birthday, if you want to give me those tickets.
We'll talk about that offline. We'll talk about that offline.
Okay.
My prediction for the Pacers, 34-48. That's
Stop
my
it.
Prediction for the Pacers. No, I'm dead serious.
Brandon, I don't think he believes you, D-Cot. I think he's saying the Pacers are going to be living in the 20 bubble.
No, I'm serious. I say 34. This is top end. I'm talking top end, 34-48. Because here's why. They've got to make another move this year. We talked about that last week. They've got to make another move. And that move is going to add salary. It's not going to add talent.
Okay. Sure.
So I say top
right.
end, 34-48. I say bottom end, 28. And
you say 34 games, man. That's like top. That's like playing position, ain't it? Ain't that like 10th in the East?
Well, not necessarily. Because listen, here's what I'm gonna tell you this: they're gonna lose some games that they want to lose because they've got to get Cleveland out of the lottery. So to get that, they got to. No. Listen,
right, so
pause,
they
I'm serious.
They
got to, man. Because if not, they turn into 2 second-round picks. The year after, who wants that, right? So we got to make sure we're in the right place. We all know the Pacers aren't a threat this year and next. So
you got something against second round picks. Purdue players got to go somewhere.
Well, that's a good point. Also, too, you got to realize you got Pritchard drafted them, so it doesn't matter anyway. So hey, speaking of that, did y'all see what Vic said? On Twitter, and again, I'm off Vic because you know you don't air stuff publicly.
Victor Oladipo said y'all lied on
him. Yeah,
he said that.
Yeah, exactly,
said
that's my point. That's my point. He's not the first that says it. And there's a correlation: Larry Bird and Pritchard. I'm telling you, said it, and I've said it. They have to go. I know they're saying Larry Bird's gone. Yeah, right. Whatever.
He's already
Pritchard
gone.
Has to go. He has to. Pritchard has to go.
Brandon, you want to touch Victor Oladipo?
And Depo, why is he talking now? What drew the thing for him to talk? He don't need to talk. He probably turned into a Paul George. He just wants his name in Indiana. What talk again. Move on. Paul George has finally moved on, I think. So let's move on, Vic.
I don't think Paul George has still moved on. But the point is, multiple guys are coming out saying very similar things. And I've said it to you guys for the last 2 years.
Well, I'm sorry that he's soft and he can't in this thing.
Hey, listen, Brandon, 90% of the NBA is soft. Let's not do that. That's not fair. 90% of the NBA is soft mentally, right? So let's not do that. My point being is Pritchard, Burr, and all their cousins need to go. They got their female assistant coach. Except for my boy Cavertini. I'm a big fan, right? So the female they've got, who's the lead assistant, she's got to go too. They got to go. I'm telling you. I've said this, and it's coming out more and more.
He's campaigning. Brandon.
We'll see you on fan night there shaking hands and kissing babies with the Pritchards.
You know what? That's the third time you said it. If I see you, I'm gonna look you up. You better watch it. Seriously, man, they've got to refresh. So I'm not gonna hold up all the show. But last thing, there's this school east of Mississippi. As I told y'all before, it's a remake year. The only thing that can stop that school is health this year.
Oh my goodness!
I can't wait to Texas A&M.
I don't have a problem with anything you're saying about Alabama. They deserve to be. They ranked third?
Jonathan, don't
are they
say
ranked
that
second
word.
Or third
don't,
this year?
Jonathan,
third.
Jonathan, don't say that word. You know that first.
They're
that
first.
Don't even try it. You know that first
thing
try. Yeah, Johnson, stop it. See, you're trying to get me to cuss, man. I'm not going to cuss.
No, I'm not. I did have a little bit of a problem. Brandon, can you pull it up? I did have a little bit of a problem with the rest of the list, man, because I just can't believe, like, Oklahoma's still in the top 10, and they lost two quarterbacks and a head coach, but they're still supposed to be top 10?
That's high. Look at Notre Dame. Look, come on. We don't want to get too deep here because I don't like talking about that school. But look at Notre Dame.
A&M 6, Utah 7, Michigan 8, Oklahoma 9, Baylor 10, even Oregon, John, they're 11th. NC State, though, I like. I got NC State over 8.5 wins this year.
I'm with you. I'm saying Utah. Utah's out there. Utah and Oregon are still favored to win. I get it that there's going to be a laser show that came to USC. I'm for it. I get it. But, like, nobody kind of comes in. I mean, they should, but nobody's going to come in and run over Oregon. Nobody's going to come in and run over Utah. They're not. So
I'm going to tell you this. Mark the tape. Florida upset Utah in the season opener this season. No, I'm
Stop
telling
it.
You. I'm telling
Stop
you,
it.
I'm not doing the travel across country and all of that. I'm just saying those boys, they've got pedigree. No, I'm not saying they're going to blow them out. It could be 21-20. I'm calling my upset of the year.
You said Florida's going to be okay.
Yep. And not because of talent, because of emotion, with all in play, new coach, AR-15, all of that. Mark the tape, Florida beats Utah.
All right, Scott. We appreciate man.
Hey, keep me on, man. I want to listen to the show. Internet is real choppy if you guys don't mind. If it's
all right, yeah. I'll put the show cool. Listen.
All right, thanks, fellas.
Yep. All right, take another call. Scott, what's going on, my man?
Man, ain't nothing, man. I'm cooling out. How y'all doing, man?
Good. Hey, good. Good to get you on last week. I saw you on there last week.
I understand, man. Programming, baby. You got to do what you got to do.
What you got? What's on your mind this week?
No. Yeah, what y'all want to talk about, man? I ain't really have nothing at the top of the deck. So what y'all want to talk about? Wherever y'all want to go, I'm game.
Georgia Bulldogs. Do they have a shot to beat this Alabama Crimson Tide again this year?
They have more than a shot. Like, ultimately, Alabama's going to be the favorite, but, dude, you got to win it twice. Like, you're going to have to beat – one of these teams is going to have to beat the other twice. So that just makes the stakes a little higher and also makes the chances for something unlikely to happen to happen. Because when you got that kind of high-level O-line and D-line play that those two teams have, man, like anything could be the difference in the game. So, yeah, they got a shot, man. But Alabama's the favorite, but they got a shot.
Hold on. Go ahead, Brent.
Go ahead. I said that'd be him twice, like I said.
Oh, no, I just got to ask you, man, with Atlanta kind of about the Falcons kind of tapping out, what have you scouted to who's going to – I know it's a terrible question. Who's going to win – who you think is going to win the NFC South this year?
The NFC South? Well, okay,
is it a runaway?
Right. So I'm looking at it like this. I think Tampa is going to easily be able to handle it and win it, but as far as where I'm putting my money – I'm taking the underdog Carolina Panthers, and I'm getting like 15-1 odds. And I'm going to keep banging that thing until the odds go down because it's there. Give me the Baker Mayfield resurgence story.
Right. He's going to be hot-tempered, hot-headed, you know what I'm saying, ready to make a point, right?
And CMC has to stay healthy. Like, you need a lot to go right for it to happen.
Right.
But, hey, man, I'm going to take
a
shot.
They need everything. If everything goes right for them, they'll be right there. They'll be, you know what I'm saying? Because it's not like the division's bad, right? But it's not like nobody's going to run in front of Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, but they're not a perfect team. Not Bell
right
now. You know what I'm saying? Imagine they're not a perfect team. And there's going to be some transition. too, with their leadership, as they now they got, you know, saying a new coach on I get Tom Brady. And hell, he didn't even, in certain points last year, he didn't look the same. You know what I mean? He didn't look like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Now they get into a close game. Of course, Tom Brady, oh, my God. Then it's like the mythos beats the other team, right? But I don't know, man. I just kind of – there's always those divisions, there's those opponents in those divisions that somebody overlooks. I think you're right. I think Carolina's getting overlooked. I Matt Rhule, like, this is a make-or-break year for him. If they don't win this year,
yeah,
he's probably back somewhere in college.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. He's out of there. So, yeah, I'm going to take them as a sleeper. The Saints still have a good defense. So if Jameis is just capable and you get a full, healthy year of Michael Thomas and the Kamara situation plays out, then, you know, New Orleans
the
is
coast
a, nobody wants to go there and play them. You know what I mean?
Are we going
to
get a
Coast dodged the bullet by not signing Jameis Winston.
Will the Saints get a focus Mike Thomas this year? I mean, he did play last year, injury and then, you know, contract issues.
Well, supposedly he avoided the PUP list and he's looking good in practice. And, of course, this is early season NFL, so we're getting all the lies right now. Who knows if it's true? But, you know, if it is, Slant Boy, hey, man, Slant Boy ain't no joke, man. He'll get you. He might not go 99, but he'll get your first down. So, you know, there might be a problem. And Kamara's not suspended. Kamara, you know, he's one of the best backs in the league. So, I think the division could be more interesting than people would expect. I'll say that.
Everybody, his last 3 years we have LeBron James in his greatness. Can we just that? Because we just signed the extension 2 years today. Everybody, let's just buy off.
No, that's good advice to give to people, man, because, like, especially, like, you can bring this up to Knicks fans and they'll really get it. Like, when you're watching an all-time great, you'll appreciate it much more later and you'll be bragging to your kids, nephews, and all that about how you saw this and you saw that, the things they're only watching highlights of. But when you watch it with that hatred in it, you don't get to appreciate it. So those Knicks fans who didn't appreciate Michael Jordan at the end, and, of course, all of basketball fans, the ones who didn't appreciate Kobe Bryant at the end, there's a lot of retelling of the Kobe Bryant story because if you remember, you know, closer to the end, man, the popularity wasn't there. Like, the popularity, of course, he's Kobe Bryant, but just go back and read all of the articles that were coming out then. And people were talking about nobody wants to play with him, this, that, and the third. Like, it was a lot of criticism of Kobe Bryant. And then we lost him, and then all of a sudden everybody had their come-to-Jesus moment. They're like, oh, man. We really didn't appreciate that guy. And now,
right,
you know. So, yeah, same thing with Brown.
John?
Who they going to hate to that level of degree or love to that level of degree next? Like, that's what I mean. He made a doubt. I mean, I didn't necessarily doubt LeBron coming out of – I mean, I'm not trying to utilize his whole career right now, but I never did. I didn't necessarily doubt him coming out of high school. And, you know what I'm saying? But, like, again – coming out of high school, nobody – Cleveland? The Cleveland Cavaliers have a championship? I mean, that right there, you know. But – and, you know what I'm saying, we all know, you know what I'm saying, what they what we did in Miami.
Yeah. That's
something you haven't come to, but, like, man, you have to – who are you going to hate to this level? There's nobody on this level right now, the next – you know what I mean? There's nobody the next.
I mean, I think KD's right there right now. Well, everybody's tired of KD.
Yeah, tired of it. That's what we're tired of hearing. Like, man, you know. So yeah, that's the color of the other way. You know what I mean? So, but like, nah, man, I'm going to appreciate it. I kind of think this Bronny talk playing with my son is just kind of like talk. Like that's what he would like to do. I think Bronny James is going to be, if he wants to be, I think he's going to be an excellent college basketball player, if that's what he wants to be. I think after a season or two, he could be a fringe NBA guy. He's athletic as hell, but he's 6'2", and that means he's got to play, you know what I'm saying, a little bit of point guard in the league, and I don't necessarily see that with the ball handling. He's got some decent handles. I don't necessarily see him as a ball-dominant point guard in the NBA, but athletically, he's right there. But, so, again, LeBron commits to 2 more years with L.A., man. What can L.A. do as a franchise to facilitate that he goes out winning. I didn't say winning the championship. Again, that, those are a whole lot of things that, that kind of they would have to move and shake and try to trade and piece together to make that happen. And again, I don't know if they're there financially, there like that, considered the salary cap and considered like who's a free agent, all those things, right? But like, can they put together a team? Yeah, at least
It just depends on AD. If Anthony Davis can be healthy and who we saw a few years ago, then, you know, all things are possible. You make a couple fringe moves around that, you could do something in these 2 years. But, as we know, that's highly unlikely. So more often than not, I think we're looking at a play-in team, possibly a higher seed than that. But anything more than that, I mean, that's just wishing at this point. Like, when you look at their roster, when you look at they don't have many assets that really improve the team either. So it is what it is. But I think Jeannie Buss has kind of figured out, like, look, even if we don't win the chip, we'll get this LeBron swan song. That'll give us all the primetime games we need. That'll give us all the sponsorship, ticket revenue, and everything else. And, you know, the Laker brand will keep going. And please believe, this is the Lakers. In 5 years, they will reload. And, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, they position themselves in a way to where even if they lose on the court, they're going to win financially.
Let me ask you this, Nas. If you're the Milwaukee Bucks fan base, even ownership, isn't it going to bother you a little bit that Giannis is doing all this talking about, oh, I'm the Chicago Bulls. Do you really want your franchise star player talking that? I mean, I like it.
Well, even if you don't like it, you better get in your car and say it to yourself under your breath. You better not say nothing to Giannis. I know that. You need to keep that relationship as healthy and happy as you possibly can. Because for you to have a superstar re-sign in the city of Milwaukee, like, let's be honest, it's cold, not much nightlife, not really the star attractions that other places have. So you kind of got to, hey, man, you don't like it, but you better be quiet because you're Milwaukee. And I hate to say it like that as a Midwest guy. But, you know, it's tough, man, because with Giannis, you never know, because I feel like every time I see him interviewed at this point, it's almost like he's cutting a commercial. So I don't know what Giannis actually thinks because he seems to want to please everybody in interviews. So it works for him. And to your other question about once Bron's gone, who's carrying the torch, who's going to be that, like, global figure? Oh, it's Luka, man. Luka is going to be a big deal. We keep forgetting that dude is 23.
That's right.
Luka's going to be a big deal, man.
That's right. It's gonna be sick. They got them. Well, they did move the needle this past year. They got it. I mean, the West is hard this year. Again, the West is gonna be hard again this year.
Yep.
Definitely. But yeah, man.
Anything
else? I don't know, man. That's that stuff is gonna be interesting. Oh, shout out to Kevin Durant, man. Because like for those who've ever been in a relationship and you tried to get her to break up with you, shout out to KD for pulling the ultimate, let me see if I can get them to so pissed off that they just trade me move to where he said, well, if you fire Nash and the GM, then I would be willing to come back. And they said, no, we're not doing that, and we're not going to get mad and act irrationally and trade you like you actually want. So they didn't go for the okey-doke, and now we're in a standoff. But if I'm Brooklyn, I ultimately ship him to Toronto, man. I just stand on Scotty Barnes. I just say, look, you're giving me Scotty Barnes and a lot more, but I just demand Scotty Barnes and the picks, and I get that deal done with Toronto, and I just reload that thing. And you just walk away from the KD and Kyrie era, and you reload with some young players, picks, and, you know, some cap space, and you're ready to roll.
All right. Sounds good. Anything else?
Nah, man, I got nothing else, man. I don't really have anything in mind, man. I'm just watching the preseason and listening to everybody lie about being in the best shape of their life like they do to us every year and ruin your fantasy football team. Anybody out there who likes fantasy football, get on Underdog and try out Best Ball. Really dope concept. I know I promoted this last time, but it's worth checking out, man. Best ball is fantasy football where you draft your team and there's no roster adjustment. You just draft the team, and whoever scores the highest, that's who's slotted in your starting lineup. But it's a really fun little thing, and there's a lot of money in it now. So check out Best Ball.
Well, Doc, hey, man, real quick. If you had the first round pick, who are you taking in the first round? Your fantasy.
I'm taking either Jonathan Taylor or Jefferson or Cooper Kupp.
Yep, I agree.
Okay.
I got a couple drafts coming up next week. I got three drafts back to back to back. And the one league I'm in that's been a keeper league, I've got the fifth pick. So in there, probably end up going to be a Najee or Derrick Henry type probably pick there at number five.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Like, who do y'all got? Before I go, who do y'all got top three?
I like Cooper Kupp at one, Jonathan Taylor at two, and then number three, I just think Jonathan Taylor, you've seen him in the preseason. I know you want to give him a franchise player your workload, but I also hear a lot about Nyheim Hines is going to get a lot of touches out of that backfield and out in the wing. So I'd rather have Cooper Kupp with Matt Stafford as long as he's healthy, throwing to him. Obviously, your MVP and Super Bowl MVP. So I got Kupp 1, Taylor 2. John?
Can't hate it.
Hey, well, Nas, you don't know. I really don't play fantasy, but I have to ask just because I do play, you know, I don't play fantasy. I just put you like that. I just have to ask, man, just because if I had to pick one, it'd probably be quarterback, and I know that's not where you would go with your first pick. Obviously.
Yeah, if you want to join the league picking quarterback first, sir, please join the money league with me so I can pick you, you know, like that. Need that.
Well, Lamar Jackson don't get nobody no points?
No.
Oh, yeah, he get you nice points, but you don't take them, you know, top 10. You just quarterbacks are a little further behind just because there's so many of them that can get you points. You got to take the guys who get targets and carries first.
The only way that they're picked that early is if you do the two quarterback leagues.
Yeah.
Then
okay.
Awesome, Nas. It's
yep,
been a
two quarterback name changes.
All right, y'all
be easy.
All right, take care, buddy. All right, that's our guy, Nas, John. Yeah, man, we got to get you going football. We got to get you in our money league, y'all. We'll take that deposit. Hey, John, I want to talk college football. Real quick, first, let's go to our ad reads. Let's pay some bills. Let's do our ad reads. We come back. We'll talk to college football.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Also, we'll take our sponsor, Travers Custom Motorsports. When ideas are created, dreams are born. Especially in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks. Offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today at MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know that
Crossroads Sports would also like to thank Wiseman Logistics, their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic and commercials, available for delivery of your packages 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's Wiseman Logistics. Hit them up at 877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics.
All right. Thank you for our sponsors. John, college football, we are 2 weeks away from week zero. Earlier tonight, it was that the College Football Board of Governors met on Monday about major college football operating under a governance structure outside of the NCAA. in the future. We kind of talked about this a while back and all the stuff going on.
I haven't read it verbatim, like, you know what I'm saying, word for word, man. I got to get eyes and ears, you know what I'm saying, behind on that. Does it, so I look at it this, man, because rather than just say automatically, there's a bunch of government guys wasn't there, you know what I'm saying, how can they get their hands into this billion-dollar pocket that is college football? There is that part that wants me to say that. There's also a part that wants me to say that does need to be regulated. You know what I'm saying? So, Brent, you always hope things, you know what I'm saying, when anything changes or when anything, you know what I'm saying, has to be controlled by another agency, you know what I'm saying, created by the government. You always hope that things are on the up and up. And I kind of hope that things are up, but like right now, we're in, I feel like we're in three different daggone time zones when it comes to like what system of college football that we're, you know what I'm saying, we're, you know, I know the BCS is over, and I know, you know what I'm saying, we're in, you know what I'm saying, we have four teams that get to play for the national championship, but like there's conferences and other teams is like wanting like that to change like right now. They want, you know, expansion. And there's networks and whatnot that want to help with the expansion. But again, all those things, you know what I'm saying, come with a lot of money, a lot of commercialism, a lot of, you know, hands, money changing fast and hands in other people's pockets. And, you know what I'm saying, everybody wants to make sure that the kids aren't getting exploited. Right. So I think Peacock said last week that, you know, so he thinks there'll be some type of unionization that'll happen in the next two seasons in college football. Or now, you know what I'm saying, we really will be in a play for pay. Like, these dudes will be free agents. The transfer portal is basically a free agency portal. That's what it is. So, that's basically what it is. It's the free agency portal, right? It's the free agency portal. Yeah, you can call it that. So, the change is coming. It's changing rapidly. Unfortunately, the NCAA sat on its hands for far too long and didn't either A, want to embrace the change, or B, you know what I'm saying, just say, yo, we're not going to do that, and we're going to go over here if you want to play football for the NCAA, play by these rules. They kind of turn their head and, you know what I'm saying, let things get out of control. So here we are. You know what I'm saying? I know the purist in me wants to have, you know what I'm saying, wants every game to matter, and wants, you know what I'm saying, all these college big-time programs, whether you're a blue-chip program or a Power 5 program or a 1AA. Hey, man, your program should be trying to win games, not lose games. Your program should be trying to, you know what I'm saying, but it's not necessarily about that, really. It's about big money games on Saturdays and, you know what I'm saying, the rich going to get richer and the poor going to get poorer. Because as we saw, when you pulled up the top 10, none of the poor people are in the top 10. None of the poor teams, quote, unquote. Then the poor teams are top 10. That's why I said Notre Dame, how could they be in the top 10? You know what I'm saying, with much transition they had. How could Oklahoma be in the top 10 with much transition that they have from year over year? I get it. They get a lot of guys, you know what I'm saying, blue-chip athletes to come in their year over year. I mean, you know, but you're telling me Oklahoma is a top 10 program? They're gonna, you know what I'm saying, saturate their way. They could because, of course, they play the Big 12 and, you know, what does that really look like? What's that going to really look like this year? But, you know, change has to be embraced. So, you know, and again, for things not to be totally out of control and like I said, for nobody to get exploited. So that's what it looks like. It sounds going to come down the pipeline. And if not sooner than, yeah, probably sooner than later. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Outside, let me go back to the basketball world. Which team is worse?
You keep on breaking up every time you say that.
IUPUI.
Okay.
Or Indiana Fever.
Man, Brandon, the Fever in the shambles. This is gonna be all kind of. New players there. The veterans and the veterans and the rookies didn't mix this well at all this year. So the worst team between those two, man, I'm not going to do – we got some friends of the program on both sides of those protective institutions, man. The Fever, man. But, dude, they needed a win bad. They lost with the final game was this past week. I think they lost like 18 in a row. And I, as we all know, IU Fire struggled mightily this past season, man. I'm not answering that question at all. I know you're, I know what you're doing. You're trying to make sure that, you know what I'm saying, the folks around here, around Crossroads, the Crossroads is also to make sure you support those teams next year, IUPUI men's basketball and Indiana Women's Fever, WNBA women's basketball, man. Because they do next year, next year coming up, because especially for the Fever next year. And IUPUI will be going to, as we have media credentials for that program in basketball, we'll be going to check them out. Man, yeah, I think it's going to be a year of growth for them for sure, especially after last year. How could it be worse, right? And for Matt, Coach Crenshaw, friend of the program, Coach Crenshaw of IUPUI. But the Indiana Fever got a lot of work to do. They really do. So it's going to be in talks, Brandon, like when they talk about who's coming out of college. Amongst the women's ranks, I expect the Fever to be heavily scouting, you know what I'm saying, whoever that may be.
Are they going to go out and get that UConn star, Paige Breckers?
You know what? You can still draft players hurt now, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be mad at it.
Breaking news. The Indianapolis Colts, John, have made some news and not the news that you want to expect to hear. Colts tight end Andrew Ogletree suffered a torn ACL today, source. A brutal break after his standout camp, who is carving out a true role as a rookie this year. Rookie tight end Andrew Ogletree out for the year towards the CL.
Damn, man. First and foremost, man, you feel for Ogletree, losing this season, period. That's first and foremost, man. You gotta put that out there, dude. You know what I'm saying? The position, definitely, that's what they drafted. It was a position of need. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's that too, man. I hate to hear that for him. Absolutely.
Yep. John, MLB baseball, we did John, the New York Yankees have the second as they got swept recently. They're about to get swept as possibly the Rays or the Tampa Bay Rays. Yankees are in Tampa. The Astros have passed them.
Who's getting fired?
I don't know if Bruce is going to get fired. But it's
I bet there's still time to write the shit, though, right, Brandon?
Yeah, but are you nervous? And getting nervous as a Yankees fan? You see the writing on the wall. This team is going to the regular season and both in the playoffs. And they lost home field.
What's happened? The main their pitching has gone south on them.
Pitching and hitting. Besides Aaron Judge.
Okay, well, yeah, he's the MVP candidate, and rightfully so, considering the season he's been having. But you gotta have critical pitching. To navigate just to get to the playoffs. And once you get in the playoffs, you got to have some lights-out pitching. The Yankees, correct me if I'm wrong, were they super busy during trade deadline?
That Benintendi they went and got from the Royals. They got another guy from the Cardinals who will be able to play here soon. He's been out with injury.
Okay.
They traded Jordan Montgomery, which is a solid pitcher. Him the Cardinals, which made no sense when you need pitching, and they just traded the guy away.
Yeah, man, I thought they would be a little bit more aggressive, and it might have been like behind the scenes money thing why they weren't more aggressive in the off season. Before the trade deadline, I think they got enough time to bounce back, Brandon. It's not like this is the end of September.
Two and eight.
So they got.
of the last 10 games. 2 of 8 in the last 10 games. Houston, 75-43. The Yankees are 72-45. And then Cleveland, those are your division leaders. Your Cardinals are battling.
If Houston somehow makes his way to the World Series again, would that be more of like we can stop reminding ourselves about them, quote unquote, cheating?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now in the National League, your Dodgers, Los Angeles Dodgers, are the first team to 80 wins. They're just running, they're 8-2 in the last 10 games. They got first place. East, you got the Mets right now, 75 wins, but the 3 games back. Those guys are right now in 3 games. Crushingly. I'm nervous about the Mets. I'll say it now. They've got a couple of starting pitchers of Earth, so only got 3 games. But they got their fix on the Braves tonight. Scherzer's on the mound. They have to get this one tonight. You can't afford a sweep down in Atlanta. Getting swept there. I'm nervous with these Mets. Cardinals are right now with the Central, 64 wins. Wild card teams are the Braves, San Diego. And then Milwaukee, San Fran are the teams that are just on the outside looking in as we move on. San Diego, John, how do I feel with them? I thought they made some trades, got Juan Soto, make that push postseason. And then you're expecting to have Fernando Tatis back, and he gets slapped with an 80-game suspension. Substance use.
Hold on, Brandon. Did I lose you? Hold on. I didn't catch the last part that you said, though, dude.
Fernando Tatis out 80 games, suspended 80 games for the Padres.
Dude, that's horrible. That's horrible. Like Brandon, it's part of next season too, right?
Yeah.
Man, that dude, like this is and the team backed him after the accident, the motorcycle accident or whatever it was. Man, you know, Brandon, that team had a chance to be real special, and they're not out of it or anything like that, but that team had a real team chance to be real special, and we got a selfish baseball player, right there. So, I don't know. Didn't he just sign a big-time deal maybe 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Huge deal.
Yeah, he can't. And, they're kind of married to that. They can't move that. I mean, it makes the – they just traded for – again, man, like, what – it kind of makes your head – I mean, he's not done for his career, but, like, baseball has kind of taken a hard stance on performance enhancers. They had to. People like me are super critical of them because, like, people like me are like, dude, you knew about the cheating back in Sammy Sosa and, you know what I'm saying, Mark McGwire era. And I'm sorry to be political, but, like, this is what it is. They don't want you out here with juice in your body. Whatever it is being, you know, he said he needed to get – he had a bad case of ringworm. That's like – he said he had a bad case of ringworm, man. That's why he took this substance, whatever was in the system. I don't even know what I can't even pronounce it. I don't even want to butcher it. You know what I mean? But he said he had a bad case of ringworm. And, you know, of course, we have medical fact checkers that work for ESPN directly. And, you know, that they said if you had that much case of ringworm, you must be an elephant. You know what I'm saying? How much they found in his body. So, you know what I'm saying? Dumb on his part, hurt his team, hurts his own personal brand. Because, again, Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong, the Baseball Hall of Fame and kind of what comes with that, still to this day, that's probably one of the hardest ones to get into.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Comparatively, when you talk about football versus basketball, dude, you do 20 and 10 for 5 seasons, man, you're in there, buddy. You know what I'm saying? Football,
yeah.
You know, it's a little bit harder. Football's a little bit more, come on in, you know what I mean? Two, but like baseball, they kind of still take that all. Everything that kind of plays in the old guard teaches this new guard. It passes down, man. That's why our guy, Pete Rose ain't a daggone Hall of Famer now. They won't let him in because it's like a baton being passed amongst the sports writers that vote on it. Pete Rose cheated the game. That's how they feel, Brandon. And that's where we at. You know what I'm saying? With this banned substance, they don't want it in their game. They don't want to be considered cheaters in that regard, in any regard. So that's why you have 80 games. Can you believe it? 80 games, Brandon.
Woo.
And you already got your money though, Brandon. He already has his money. It's not like it's a I don't want to name. What name one Yankee guy? You remember when the Yankees was just getting guys from Oakland? Was Giambi? I felt they was getting. Didn't they get Giambi's brother too? Didn't they get Giambi's brother?
Uh-oh.
And it didn't work out with Giambi's brother. And now Giambi's brother in Oakland, it's like, man, it's like mystical ground for him, man. I remember Giambi have a good night or a great night, and little brother would have like a little special night too. Like he get a double or something. Ah, he can play too. Well, no. And then he went to he played for the next Yankees one time. It's like Yankees fooling, like, dude, this ain't the Giambi we want. You know, that we thought we was gonna get. But like, nah, man, you know those teams. It's stupid, man, to pay, like I said, too high of a price to pay, man. When you know what I'm saying, they want to. You know what I'm saying, your game is supposed to be so honorable.
Yeah. Anything else, John? Before we wrap.
Nah, man, I think we had a pretty good show, man. When we talked about all the things that are out here in the sports atmosphere, man.
Go ahead and give our people a preview.
Who do you want? So you said you want to talk a little Bears?
Colts, Bears, Browns, Lions, and Packers. Which two teams next week?
So let's be fair. Honestly, man, we're going because this is, you know, our city is Indianapolis, and, you know what I mean, it's always going to come. The Colts are always going to come up. We're going to talk Colts anyway, right? Let's say we talk about we talked Steelers and Bengals. Let's talk NFC North and talk Detroit and Chicago.
Okay.
And the Packers, too. We'll get everybody in.
All right, we'll do all four teams.
We got to talk Packers. Dude, Brandon, this dude lost his mind. I mean, he didn't necessarily lose his mind again, but, like, he pulled an Aaron Rodgers general manager card yesterday. He pulled an Aaron Rodgers general manager card. Hey, man. He's like, on the sideline. Dude, I thought Matt LaFleur was the coach.
He
is. Who's the general manager? Brandon, who's the real general manager? He might as well fire himself.
Gutekunst better leave it.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers said, these wideouts, oh, my goodness. And I'm not talking hyperbole. He said it like that.
Yeah.
He said his wideouts were playing like trash in a game, that in a practice that he wasn't even playing in.
Well, you got to call him out sometimes.
Does he have GOAT ability or not? You know what, Brandon? Aaron Rodgers is playing around with the Green Bay Packers, and I wish him well, Brandon. But like playing like, you know, pulling strings like this, man, I get it. You see it as just him being critical of the team, but get out there and show him, then, Aaron. You're talking, but like he's pulling GOAT level stuff, and you only got one Super Bowl. That's what I got a problem with. I don't know, Brandon. What you going to do with Aaron Rodgers and his ego? What you going to do with Aaron Rodgers and his ego? It's not going to sustain the next season.
It'll be all right.
Dude, they should go undefeated in that division.
I guess.
Put some pressure on it. I'm tired of splitting with Minnesota. You should sweep Minnesota.
Hey, real quick. Your boys made the news again, Antonio Brown.
Who's he chirping about?
He was trashing Tom Brady for manipulating training camp break. He's also called out his trainer. Brown took to Twitter to criticize Brady's leave of absence from the Bucs and his trainer, Alex Guerrero. Quote,
I hope Guerrero.
Alex Guerrero's sick. You think I won't have one of smack that TB12 boy? Stop playing with me. Boy getting paid by Bucks, sick, and taking players' money, too. Tom Brady manipulated the game. Gets 14 days to go home, get his mind right, LOL. Now you see the difference. Put that shit on. End quote.
Do you believe it? Do you believe there's some truth in what he's saying? I do.
Some, but how do you decipher it between all the crap that
But like
he
why? But like why? What business is it of yours?
Yeah.
Who cares? I don't care. I really don't care. I
you walked
care.
Off the field. It's not like the Bucks did it. You walked off the field.
He's trying to say there's a level of hypocrisy in how people do things versus how he gets away with whatever. Look at me. I couldn't get away with this. Tom Brady could get away with that. I never seen Tom Brady take his shirt off in the middle of a game. Oh, he did this? I never seen what atrocities did he do in the Steelers locker room. Who did that? What other off the field issues did Antonio Brown have? Who did that? I've never seen Tom Brady have any of these issues. Tom Brady has had some issues. Yes, he destroyed an iPhone. Remember, he did this. Yes, Tom Brady has done some quirky things. New England Patriots, right? From a coach fan standpoint, I'm just putting that out there like that. You know what I'm saying? But Antonio Brown, dude, like Brandon, he could still play in the league, but he's not going. They're not going to allow him to play in the league because of his mouth. They're not going to allow him to play in the league because of his mouth.
Cowboys. You go after and try to sign Antonio Brown to the Cowboys.
Nah. Not if he wouldn't be taken. Nah. Antonio, I thought he had a chance, Brandon. I thought he had a chance until the last little episode when he came out. Not this one. The last one. And then he had to apologize for it. It ain't nobody else's fault.
Yeah, I know, right? All right, John, I'll let you wrap us, my man.
All right, man. Like I said, we had a great show tonight, man. I want to thank D-Cott, caller number one, and caller number two, Nas, for calling in, man. Calling it again, man. Hey, man, just some great conversation, man, around, you know what I'm saying, the sports, man. That's what we're about here at the Crossroads Sports Show, man. Also want to thank our sponsors, Maverick Custom Motorsports, our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, and our sponsor, Wiseman Logistics, man. How could we do our show without them? Support us by supporting us. Best thing you can do is go check out what our sponsors might have in store for you. You'd be surprised. Anyway, other than that, Brandon, man, I think we had a great show, man. We'll try to run it back next week, bigger, better, and badder. If I could use a WWE term, I hope we don't get sued for that. I'm just using it. I'm just remember that old WWE saying bigger, better, badder.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe that's for your time. Anyway, man, I hope to do it again next week again, man. Like I said, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.